you're saying it's a matter of time until everything is open sourced anyway.
I'm fully convinced that once large miners realize the benefits of firmware that they can control, they will demand it. They will refuse to use proprietary stuff.
Hash rate up. Hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with Hashrate Up.
So we're at Afro Bitcoin conference in Mauritius. I'm sitting next to Scott, the instigator, as he likes to call himself, of the BitX project. Scott, I wanted to talk to you about the BitX project, where it's today, what brings you here, what you've seen so far, what interested you. And yeah, maybe let's start there. I mean, everybody that watches my channel probably knows the BitX. I'm being sponsored by somebody who manufactures it and sells it in Germany.
This is amazing. This blows my mind. So, right? Like someone just picked this up, started making it, and now they're sponsoring podcasts.
Like making a profitable business out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you started this all. You're responsible for open sourcing all of the files and the setup. And yeah, you guys go and build businesses and business models with this.
Yeah.
Cool. What was your, let's start there. What was the motivation, first of all, to do that?
Well, I kind of got involved with Bitcoin mining in like 2011. And back then, FPGAs were still a thing. And there was an open source firmware. And so I was like, oh, I just want to try this, downloaded the firmware, loaded it on some FPGAs I had. I was able to, you know, get that. And I was able to see the source, figure out how it worked. That's kind of how I got involved. I'm an electrical engineer. So my interests in Bitcoin are definitely like tied to hardware. So mining is kind of the natural fit there. Yeah, then fast forward several years and I was like, man, I really want to make a miner. Like ASICs are out now. It's the hotness. Like, I want to make one. And so I started looking about how I would do that. And it was kind of bummed out that there was no way to do it. Like no one was doing it. There was no open source projects. No one was posting plans or, you know, like any guides or anything.
You can build your own node. You can't really build your own miner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like a, you know, an efficient ASIC miner. Mm. So that was kind of my, you know, and I was like, oh gosh, all right, well, I guess I'm going to start digging into this. I actually really wanted to make a solar powered, Bitcoin miner, like a miner that's strapped to the back of a solar panel. That was my first idea there. And then
why did that not work? Why did you not follow that?
Well, I realized that in order to make a miner work like directly connected to a solar panel, you need to actually be able to dynamically change the load on it.
Yeah.
Which is changing the hash rate. And none of the miners did that. Also, all the existing miners are too big for a single solar panel. So
yeah.
I knew that I had to figure out how to control it better and as well as make a smaller, lower power version.
Okay. All right, cool. And so, I mean, the BitX project has seen tremendous success, I would say. My mom has one.
Yes, you know, there we go. We made it.
Like, it's proliferating. It's wildly adopted as a really good way to check out Bitcoin mining and to learn more about it. You don't have to buy a whole ASIC and host it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So where do you see the project today? Is it where you thought it would be? Do you have a vision? Did you not really care where it was going to go? Give me your overall, like, where we are today with the project.
It just started off as a project. Like, I just wanted to satisfy my own curiosity. So I, you know, had a full-time job. I was just kind of screwing around with it. And then I, you know, like you do, I just posted kind of my designs out there.
Yeah.
Probably like almost 4 years ago, posted my initial designs out there and was like, you know, is anyone also working on this? Like, anyone want to help? And met a few like amazing collaborators. And that's when, you know, talking to more people was like, okay, I think this has some potential. And mm-hmm. So I started getting more interested in it, working on it more and more. Very exciting to work with collaborators, like really smart dudes. And, yeah, it started picking up steam. And then we actually got some manufacturers. Actually, it was kind of crazy. I was like, all right, here's the designs for the BitX. Like, revolution begin, you know, and it was like, people were like, where can I buy it? And I'm like, no, you build it. And they're like, no, where can I buy it? So it wasn't until some manufacturers came along and like, okay, we're going to start building this. And now it's for sale. People are buying them. That it really like took off. And I realized that like, this is something people want. It does have some potential. And that's where it started to go, but it didn't initially have like a project goal.
And how many, do you have an overview over how many builders and resellers are out today?
Well, there's no way to tell for sure, right? I just have the files posted on GitHub, and so anyone can do it. They don't have to tell me. There's no way for me to track them. There's probably half a dozen manufacturers, like large-ish manufacturers around the world.
Yeah.
There's big ones in Germany, North America, are probably the two biggest. There's a zillion sellers. I have probably 30 or so listed on my website. Those are ones that I like know about, and they follow the open source license and things
like that.
But there's many more than that.
Okay, amazing.
And again, I don't have any way to track how many BitAxes have been sold, but like talking to the larger manufacturers to try and get a guess, I think it's probably on the order of like 100,000 BitAxes.
All right, and what do you task yourself with today? Like, what do you do? Do you have a day job or what do you work in mining?
For the last 2 years, I've been working on BitAx full time.
Okay.
I've been lucky enough to get grants from organizations supporting open source Bitcoin development, and that's enabled me to do this full time.
It's like
a dream come true. I love it.
Yeah.
My day to day is, you know, fixing bugs with the BitAx, both hardware and firmware. Talking with other collaborators, thinking about what needs to be improved in the firmware, you know, dealing with user issues, reliability kind of stuff, performance. My sort of longer term goals are integrating new chips because the miner manufacturers are always coming out with new ASICs.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just a matter of incorporating.
So what are your thoughts around the parts issue, right? Because the Solo Mining, the company that sponsors the show, they have many, many parts from harvesting chips off of S21 Pros or whatever,
yeah.
Right? So is there any solution, any go-to of what can be done with that, with the chassis, with the fans, with the control boards?
I would assume you could sell them to repair places, right? I mean, they're good parts.
Yeah.
Like if they're buying new miners and just taking the chips off, you know, you'll have extra power supplies that are brand new,
yeah.
Fans, enclosures, all the cabling and stuff
yeah.
like that. So maybe there's a market for that stuff.
Sure.
So the repair crew, I mean, you could melt down the case for scrap aluminum, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
BitAx, solomining.de, got it. Premium, made in Germany. You want to go fancy? Go for NerdX or NerdQX++ for a lot of power. Worldwide shipping. Check out solomining.de today.
Is there now an option to buy? I'm hearing, you know, offers and rumors in the market like about just buying the chips.
Sort of.
How does that
sort of. Like Bitmain will not sell chips directly. They don't do that. But there has always been this sort of grayish market for getting the chips because Bitmain does sell chips to repair companies.
Okay.
They're not priced very well. The cheapest way to get chips is to take them out of miners. But if you want new chips, you can talk to these, you know, second and third level companies that get these chips, and they're destined for the repair market. So it's tough to get a lot because, you know, if you're building like 20,000 BitAxes, you need 20,000 chips.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what a repair place would want. So the quantities are a little weird. The pricing's not very good. But yeah, you can get them. The supply comes and goes.
Okay.
Like there'll be suppliers in China that have a reel that you can get, and then they don't have any more.
And so what are we missing to open source the chip?
Oh my gosh, like an act of God. The chips are crazy complicated. The ASICs themselves, the chips, are made at TSMC.
Yep.
TSMC is a foundry that makes chips for Apple, NVIDIA, Intel, like everyone.
Yeah.
And it's just absurdly expensive and takes a long time.
So it leads me into, and I said to you before, I wanted to play a bit of devil's advocate and educate the audience around open source and why it's important, more important for many than for some who don't even know what it is in Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you part of the Pod 256 as well?
Yes.
Bitcoin podcast,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a 256 foundation.
Yes.
Let's explain that first, what you guys do on the show and what the foundation does, and then...
Sure. So I'm a relatively new host on Pod 256, but it's a mining-focused podcast, but centers around, less industry news and more sort of operators, and lately it's been going more towards promoting open source
mm-hmm.
Bitcoin mining, things like the BitAx, And then sort of the same guys who started Pod 256 also started the 256 Foundation.
Okay.
Which is maybe about a year old at this point. And it's a proper nonprofit dedicated to promoting open source Bitcoin mining development.
Okay. Why is it important?
Well, Bitcoin itself is fundamentally open source. Mm-hmm. I'd argue that we wouldn't be here today talking about Bitcoin had Satoshi made it a proprietary project. And in order for something to be decentralized, it has to be open source for a tech project.
Okay.
Because when you have proprietary closed source stuff, it's controlled by, you know, an organization or
sure.
a company,
yeah.
right? They are, they're targets, right? They're single points of failure to
yeah.
regulators, governments, dictators, whoever else. And if they come and arrest that person and the code isn't open source, well, now it's just gone.
Yeah.
So it's a very important part of being Bitcoin remaining permissionless and decentralized to have it be open source.
All right. Would you say open source is a one or a zero, or is it a bandwidth, but it's like a scale?
Yeah, it's a scale. There's lots of different components, you know, that all have different source, right? There's software, there's firmware, there's hardware. There's obviously a big scale. I think that everything should be open source, but I think that the lowest hanging fruit is obviously okay. the firmware.
So the question, right, if you think, so how do I phrase this, right? So Bitcoin works because of incentives, right? Game theory, self-interest. That's why game theory in Bitcoin works, right? So let's say I'm developing a miner. Why would I invest millions? And this is the critical question I have. Like, why would I invest millions, seek investment, raise money, to then give it away for free for China to copy, or to take yeah. the designs that I raised a lot of money for and paid inventors and innovators for mm-hmm. to then give it away? Like, how do those two go together?
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter if you're open source or not. China's going to copy it. Right, we've seen this yep. with the iPhone, right? We've seen this with everything. Like, Apple has more lawyers than anyone in the world, and they can't stop those communists. So
yeah, true.
China is very good at copying things, so it doesn't matter if you're open source or not. Secondly, I would say that it's actually an advantage to open source. It accelerates your development. It accelerates your adoption. It accelerates people building on this and working with it. And it's definitely not a vow of poverty, right? You can sell these things. Absolutely. Because not everyone can manufacture hardware and put these together.
True. Right?
So you're adding value. You're doing things that other people can't or won't do. But the fact that it's open source will just only increase adoption and will only increase development.
Is the Protominer hardware open source?
Or not yet, but they have claimed that they're going to.
Okay, so this is exactly what I'm wondering. Besides the, I don't think that the philosophical or the philanthropic approach is very sustainable, right? Because at some point, you know, to earn Bitcoin under a Bitcoin standard, you have to, you can't just wait for wealthier people to just give it to you, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to make it mm-hmm. somehow. So that's why I'm wondering, okay, if I'm Bitmain or Whatsminer, right? What keeps me from open sourcing that technology is that I want to sell the machine. Or I guess, I don't know, is that even the right angle at it? What keeps, if what you say is right and there's more benefits than negatives for open source, and let's, you know, Auradine goes and open mm-hmm. sources all of their technology in their and their stuff, like, why don't they do that already today? If it's,
I think it's just because we're early. We saw, you know, the PC industry was very closed initially, the web was very closed initially, and it just takes time for this stuff to happen. Like, we, you know, Microsoft used to make a web server, right?
Yeah.
That powers, I don't know, 0% of the internet now, right? Linux, Apache, Nginx, mm. right? Mm. That absolutely dominated, right? Because it's permissionless. People can get it and just start building on the top of it.
Okay, so, but then you're saying it's a matter of time until
yep.
everything is open sourced anyway.
I'm fully convinced that once large miners realize the benefits of firmware that they can control, they won't demand it. They will refuse to use proprietary stuff.
Give me an example. Why do you say that?
Well, I've talked to several large miners, and they actually don't like the current paradigm either, right? Because, you know, you have these machines. That's how you make all of your revenue. And those machines are controlled by the firmware. So say something's not working right, your particular setup, because of your cooling, because you're doing demand response, you know, from the grid, any number of special circumstances that apply to your operation.
Mm-hmm.
If the firmware isn't meeting your needs, now you have to go to Bitmain and beg them to do it. And they sort those requests, I'm sure, by how much you spend with them, right? So the big guys might get it, but it's kind of, it's this begging going back and forth. And I happen to know that many of the large miners have their own firmware projects going on
their
own.
Yeah.
Because they need that additional control.
Yeah.
It's very similar to Linux, right? Like if you're going to set up servers, right, they're absolutely going to run Linux because you don't want to be reliant on someone else to build that infrastructure for you.
And then does that software that they are building run into limitations with the hardware that they are running it on? Is that a problem?
Well, it is kind of interesting. So in the case with Bitmain, the firmware that they release is very underfeatured. It doesn't support many of the stuff that the chips can do. And so we've seen third-party firmware that comes out that can like scale the hash rate more up and down, take advantage of additional diagnostics and stuff, which is, it's weird that Bitmain doesn't do that considering they know how the chip works.
Yeah.
But so there are additional features there. You know, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some issues because anyone who's making firmware outside of Bitmain doesn't have the documentation. So there might be compatibility issues there.
Yeah.
I think we'll get to a place where, if not Bitmain, one of their competitors will start to work with systems builders just to sell more.
Why do I struggle so much with the idea of saying, okay, let's say I'm Watts Miner, I'm whatever. I have all these employees, I have all these sales guys. I make my money selling these machines. I have repair centers around the world. I'm spending money on marketing and innovation and bringing out the new chips or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I struggle so much with the idea of it being a good business decision to say, look, here's all the designs, here's all the software, go do it yourself?
I mean, if they, you know, Bitmain's like their lead, the reason why they're number one, it's because of their allocation at TSMC. They can get chips made with efficiencies that no one else can come even close to.
Sure.
So make those and sell more of them.
But then is the chips remain closed source? They're not open source, and that's not what we want.
Well, ideally, no. But I think that, you know, we need to start from the bottom up, right? Or maybe from the top down, I guess, with the firmware, right? And get ourselves into the hardware. Like I said, ASICs are incredibly complicated to make. Mere mortals cannot do it. If those remain closed, it's not ideal, but we can still get done what we need to do. We can still open source Bitcoin mining with closed source ASIC chips.
So it's a scale, and we're getting closer on that scale then in that picture. Yeah. Okay. But this is exactly what I'm struggling with, right? You have so much capital expenditure. You raise money from investors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the investors are going to be like, yo, wait a minute. You can't just give all of that away. Like,
I don't think they're giving much away, right? If they are agreeing to sell their chips with documentation, that's just going to make more customers.
No, not the chips. The chips I fully agree with. But like saying, okay, here's the control board design. Here's how you build the control board yourself. Here's the firmware. Here's root access. Go ham.
I mean, that is like the default in the electronics world. Like if you go to buy a voltage regulator chip or a CPU or something, like they desperately want to sell you chips. They will give you all the documentation you need.
Right, yeah.
They will give you the designs. They'll send a guy to your office to tell you how to do it because they want to sell chips.
Buying Bitcoin miners should be simple, safe, and fast. Altair Technology delivers exactly that. Based in the US and shipping directly from St. Louis, Altair eliminates all the shady messaging groups, customs and tariffs issues, and makes sure Bitcoin miners get to you on time. Altair stocks leading commercial ASIC miners, efficient home units, and all the critical parts you need, backed by real inventory, real support, and a team of people that you can rely on and actually mines Bitcoin. Thank you so much, Altair Technology, for supporting the show. And without further ado, let's get back to it.
So that's actually a good example, analogy, right? So if I'm building a PC, I'm buying an Intel or an AMD chip.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any software on it.
Right, and Intel doesn't even make computers. Right, Intel sells chips. And other people make servers, desktops, laptops, Who knows?
Okay, so now that is starting to click for me. Okay, so that's what you're saying. You're saying, okay, sell the chips, but let us innovate around the chips.
Yeah.
And give us, you know, because that's the next thing, you know, the firmware thing. As soon as you install aftermarket firmware, your warranty is gone.
Yeah.
Because Bitmain cannot account for what the aftermarket firmware has done to the chip.
So that, right? I mean, systems builders could then offer those warranties if that's what their customers want.
Okay. Bit to your example, BitX builders have to give a warranty over the BitX product.
If they want.
You don't have to give a...
Yeah, I know, but... You know, they
doesn't.
You know, that's a service that they can use to market their install there.
So that's where you innovate the business model. Okay. Right. That makes sense.
Good. Yeah. I mean, it is amazing. Like, I'll buy a $1 chip, you know, not a mining ASIC, but a $1 chip, and it'll come with a 1,000-page manual. Like, they want you to understand how to use
it
so that you can make the next hot thing and buy a million chips from them.
Okay, but then I guess, you know, if you say open source everything, that includes the chip. So then that's where it gets, I guess, a bit more philosophical around how do we solve that problem of...
Yeah, open source hardware is a very new concept, right? We've had open source software for a long time, I think since, I don't know, like GNU, the, you know, GPL, that was Richard Stallman. I think that was in like the late 70s, early 80s, By now, thanks to a large part to Linux, open source software is well established. Hardware is a very new concept. We don't have a lot of good examples to point to of successful open source hardware projects. I don't think that means it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good idea. We have an interesting phenomenon right now called RISC-V. It's a CPU-like architecture. Like ARM is an architecture, x86, Intel is an architecture. There's one called RISC-V, and it's actually open.
Okay.
And you can take that, and you can then go to a fab and make chips.
All right.
But anyone can. And we're seeing pretty broad adoption, you know, especially in like low cost stuff, a lot of stuff from China, where they don't have to pay those licensing fees for the architecture.
Again, promoting innovation, right?
Yes. It's promoting innovation. And, you know, the RISC-V organization, right, isn't comprised of fabulously wealthy people that are making a ton of money on this.
Yeah, sure.
It was, it started as a research project at Berkeley, but you know, they have a foundation set up. The manufacturers you're using, if they're smart, they will contribute money back to this.
Yeah.
That's how it works with Linux. You know, Linux has the Linux Foundation, which is set up to support Linux, has, I think it's like hundreds of millions of dollars in yearly donations from Microsoft, Amazon, right? Everyone.
Yeah.
They know where the stuff comes from.
Okay. I want to talk about two more things. The one, I think you're already wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what excites you most at this conference so far.
Yes.
Let's talk about that first. What are you wearing? What's on your shirt?
Yeah. So this was, when I first heard about it recently, it was called Blue Collar, but this apparently means blue collar in Swahili, the Jua Kali.
Jua Kali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think my interview with Eric will come out before that. So anybody who hasn't seen that, check that out. But
yeah,
I would like your...
Check that episode with Eric.
Assume people understand the basics of what the Jua Kali is.
Okay.
And explain to me why you are excited about it.
Well, as I mentioned before, I got into Bitcoin mining because I had this idea that I wanted to do Bitcoin mining directly from solar panels.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I didn't end up doing it because I went down this rabbit hole on how the ASICs work, but it always has a sweet, you know, soft spot in my mind. So I've known the Gridless guys, Eric and Philip, for a while now. They're fantastic. They're doing excellent work. Of course, they are monetizing and using stranded energy for Bitcoin mining.
Yep.
And I think it's a natural fit. Like, solar is decentralized, permissionless power.
Yep.
Right? Like, good luck starting your own coal-fired, you know, power plant or nuclear or anything else, right? Like, you can't make your own gas, you know, but solar, you can get solar panels.
Yes.
If I can't make solar panels, but you can get solar panels.
Yes.
Right? They're made all around the world. You can get them. You can set up power. And solar panels are a perfect match for mining because they're DC, which is fundamentally what the miners use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird because the major miner manufacturers, like, they don't make machines for this. So it's been a struggle to get hardware built that can actually do this. We know it's a good idea, but there's no hardware.
Yeah.
And so that's why I like to see a Jua Kali. Like, it just...
Yeah.
is a great idea, and it's been needed to be done for a long time.
It's really in the spirit of what Bitcoin is, right? To build a node, you need a Raspberry Pi and a hard drive.
Yeah.
And those are parts that you can get anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is what this is for me. You build your own miner, and it's in that intersection of, hey, you know, one of the big manufacturers has designed a chip and brought out a device that's meant for a type one facility, high uptime, you know. And then at some point it's old and we can repurpose it. But it's not really fit for that. But it wasn't built for that. It wasn't built to turn on 10 times a day, you know, on and off. So now the BitX is, on the other hand, like, great to learn. Same principle.
Yeah, you're not
same efficiency as a big machine. But economically, it's a suicide.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, correct.
So this is exactly in that middle. And I have high hopes that this will grow very fast and become that sort of build your own node of 2026 kind of thing, where people just, you know, download a list of items, buy them on AliExpress, put it together, and have mining in their own house through a very small scale device.
It's
very exciting.
I mean, if you have solar, right, it makes a lot of sense. Right, these aren't the kind of miners that you ever want to plug in. I think there's some of these older miners, there's nowhere in the world where you can plug them in and make money. But if you have solar, right?
Yeah, we were coming up with this earlier, like stranded hashboards, you know?
Yeah.
At some point, they're like stranded. You don't know where to put them because you can't plug them in economically. So now they get repurposed and somebody finds a way to find a use case for them. Last thing I want to ask you about, Scott, is the landscape of competition we have in miner manufacturing, right? I mean, we've seen historically Bitmain, WhatsMiner to a little bit. Canaan wasn't really known for producing great devices. That's changing, right? So we've got those big three. We've got Bitdeer coming with the SealMiner. Auradine is coming out with miners. We've got Epic with the control boards. Like, what's your view on ProtoMiner is coming, ProtoRig? Like, what's your view on competition in the mining space? Do you think we need way more? What do you think the effects will be from this competition?
I think competing with Bitmain is going to be incredibly difficult. Right, they have allocation at TSMC on par with Apple and Nvidia. They are so far ahead of everyone. Like, even if you're also at TSMC, you're not making as good a stuff as Bitmain is.
Okay,
they are just absurdly far ahead. It's going to be incredibly hard to compete with them, especially if you're trying to do exactly what they're doing. If you're making the same exact thing as them, it's just not going to stack up. So I hope that these other manufacturers will start to go after these other avenues, right? Stranded energy mining, that's a good one. We saw with the ProtoRig launch, they're going after inefficiencies in the entire mine, like repairability, uptime. So that's what miner manufacturers are going to have to do, because you can't beat Bitmain at their game, which is the max efficiency, you know, 3 kW on-grid miner.
It goes to somewhat to what I've said on this channel before, right? You know, Bitmain on paper, greatest efficiency. Mm-hmm. Total cost of ownership, Bitmain, difficult.
Yeah.
Right? Which is also why I largely do not recommend people to buy Bitmain machines, is because you host them and the chance of you having to touch that machine 10 times and spend a lot of money for a hoster to do that is very high.
Yeah.
So it's not, the risk is high that it's not an economic choice, even though it's the most efficient machine, right? And
that's what people see, though, like the marketing material. It's like efficiency, hash rate, price. And you're like, okay, so that's the one.
So what do you think? Like, we have heat reuse. We've got stranded energy. We've got you don't need to replace all the parts when you buy new hashboards, because that's essentially what you do when you buy a new machine. You want new hashboards. You don't want the old ones.
Right.
But the fans are still the same.
Yeah.
Right. Do I need to buy those again? Okay, we have that avenue. We've got Auradine, which I think largely focuses on sort of the firmware side of things. You know, set your pool before it comes. Very importantly, one chip breaks on the hashboard.
Yeah.
You don't need to replace the whole hashboard. You know, whatever. The miner doesn't really care. It's just one tera hash less or whatever.
Yeah.
What other avenues do you see where people can compete and drive innovation?
Those are pretty big ones. Those are really big ones. The heat reuse category is immense. It's super diverse in all the different kinds of things that can be done there. So that alone would be enough to change the industry. But I guess to your list, the only one that I would add is home mining. I think it can't be discounted, right? There's a lot of people who want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
You know, you think about gamers that make their own rigs, like people, or hot rod cars, right? Like people like tinkering, they like building stuff.
Yeah.
This, you know, home mining, sort of pleb mining market is not to be ignored.
Build your own hydro miner at home.
Yeah.
Reduce the noise.
There are some crazy dudes out there. They'll do it.
All right, Scott, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy the conference. And Mauricio, it's been great. Thank you so much, guys. If you want to learn more about the BidX project, follow Scott everywhere. All the links will be down below. He's very easy to find, even at conferences. Cheers. Thank you so much. Bye.